This morning we're in Psalm 53, 1 to 6, responding productively to relentlessly, spiritually blind, destructive people. In today's world, one atrocity seems to chase another. Deeds being committed by relentlessly, spiritually blind, destructive people. We all hear about it in the news. And the problem seems to be on the increase in fulfillment of 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. That passage, incidentally, in 2 Timothy, it talks about how in the latter days people will become abusive in a variety of ways, and from such we're supposed to withdraw ourselves. But this is something that's going to happen in society on the increase. Well, Psalm 53, 1 to 6 provides edifying insight on how to respond productively to this matter. I'd like to look to God in prayer, and then we'll get into His Word. Father, we thank You for the privilege that You have granted us to fellowship around the Word of God. This morning, we thank You for Your unmerited favor to us in Christ. Thank You for the indwelling presence and power, enabling of the Spirit of God. Thank You for the fact that You help. And we ask, Father, for wisdom today, yes, to understand the text, but to go beyond that and to comprehend how it is to be applied, and then successfully to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'd like to read the King James Version first, and then we'll look at it. Psalm 53, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as if they eat bread? They have not called upon God. There they were in great fear, where there no fear was. For God had scattered the bones of him that encamped against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God has despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When God brings back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Okay, the introductory remarks in the English Bible comprise the first verse in the Hebrew text. So we're going to stay with the verse numbering layout of the English Bible for clarity in regards to this particular lesson. So we translate Psalm 53, 1-6. This is directly from the Hebrew text as follows. Quote, the morally insensitive and impious. This is the word Nabal. That's the name that Nabal, remember Nabal, who had, the man who had been married to Abigail, and he was a man who was very bad. That's what his name comes from. The morally insensitive and pious says in his heart, there is no Elohim. Elohim is the word for the Creator God. They are corrupt. They commit abhorrent injustice. There is no one who does good. Elohim from the heavens looks down upon the sons of men to see if there are any who act with insight, who seek or who resort to God. They've all turned aside. They have altogether become sour. That's like milk goes sour. Morally corrupt. There is none who practices good. There's not even one. Will all workers of iniquity never learn, those who devour my people as men eat bread and who do not call on Yahweh? Yahweh is the other name for God. It's the name that God used when he appeared in the burning bush incident to Moses. There they are, those who are dread of dread when there existed nothing to dread. For Elohim scattered the bones, and that would refer to the entire person of those who encamped against you. You put them to shame, for Elohim despised them. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion, when Elohim restores the fortunes of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Okay. We note some significant observations and applications of this psalm. It's only six verses long. In fact, it's very close to Psalm 14. There's just a slight change in verse 5 and so forth, but with a slightly different emphasis. First of all, those who commit atrocities, such as the shooting that occurred in Orlando and the shootings that have occurred in other places, you know, around the country and so forth, those who commit atrocities are morally insensitive and impious, for they lack any sense of accountability, that's a big word, accountability, to Scripture's God, and they are corrupted by amoral, profane ideology to commit abhorrent injustices. very, very true. Increasingly, people are becoming insensitive and lack a sense of accountability. I've heard a number of police reports where police officers are increasingly a concern about younger generations of young people that are coming up. It used to be that when young generations were coming through, there would be a respect or a fear of accountability to God, because it was instilled in them by parents. Parents taught them about God, whether they went to the Catholic Church or a Protestant church, it didn't matter. At least there was some sort of a reverence there. But increasingly, we have a lot of young people who are not raised in the church at all, any church. And some are actually raised in places where they think that they actually promote paganism. So the police are saying we have sometimes people who are being raised who don't have a sense of accountability. And the only way they obey us is if we have a gun and they don't. See, if they had the gun, they'd shoot us, they'd kill us. So this is something that we have to watch out for. This is people who commit these atrocities are insensitive and impious because they lack a sense of accountability. Number two, what has led to this condition, this lack of accountability, is the initial failure of such men to act with insight. Why? Because they do not resort to God and His truth that is revealed in His Word. It's interesting, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 is a very interesting passage that talks about this whole issue of accountability in reference to Scripture. In verse 19, Isaiah was writing about the people of Israel at the time. He said, "When they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and unto mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? Why do the living go to the dead?" And then you put quotes in front of the word "to" in verse 20, quote, "to the law and to the testimony," and then you put an end of quote after that. It's like saying back to the Bible. If they do not speak according to this saying, it is because there's no light of dawn in them, literally. And then notice, as a result of people not having the light of dawn, they're not glued into the word of God. Verse 21, "They shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. It shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves." That's one of the results of being hungry for the word of God. There's a fretting. "And curse their king and their God." They're looking upward, and they're cursing authority figures that are over them. Verse 22, "And in desperation they shall look to the earth." That's looking down. They're going to even look even to subordinates. "And behold, nothing but trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven into outer darkness." That's a signal of what happens when people do not have access to the Word of God. There is tremendous darkness. Now, such a departure from the God of truth has not only led men to turn away from God and His righteousness, but to cause each wayward sinner to corrupt each other wayward sinner in a mutually souring of morals, so that not even one person practices what is good. And verse 3, it's interesting how this happens. This is where the Bible talks about bad company corrupts good morals. When people are bad, you have a person over here who has sin A, and you have a person over here who has sin B. You get both of these together, and both of them after a while are into both sins A and B, because there's a mutual corruption that goes on. You take sour milk and mix it with good milk, and what happens? Does the good milk eat up the sour milk? No, the good milk goes sour. The temptation, the tendency is to go from bad to worse and to pollute. That's what happens with people. And you'll note how this idea in Psalm 53:3 and 53:1 coincides with the theology of Romans 3:23. And Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There's a corruption that goes on throughout the world, and it's going on in the human race constantly. Well, what's the correction to this? The correction of such a state is for man to return to heeding Scripture. For apart from heeding Scripture, man has not even the hope of gaining the dawn of God's insight of truth that produces correct living. This is why he says, "to the word and to the testimony." That's in like getting back to the Bible. If this saying is not in them, literally in the Hebrew, they don't even have the light of dawn. The light of dawn is the dawn, is the light that begins to show up in the eastern sky, and it brings hope of a greater light so you can fully see. So those who are not saying, "let's get back to the Word of God," don't even have the hope of greater insight. They're in darkness. So, in reality, however, man cannot himself return to Scripture in his life without a change of heart and empowerment by the Holy Spirit. And that necessitates the salvation of Jesus Christ by faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 7, verse 24, the Apostle Paul talked about how wretched he was and how hopelessly lost a man is apart from God. That what he wants to do, that he can't do. What he cannot do, that's what he does. So he's bound to this sin nature. And he says, who can deliver me from this? And he goes on to Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and through 4 and so forth. He talks about how Christ comes and he saves us. And by means of the power of the Spirit of God, we have the power to keep the complete righteousness of God. So we have to start with salvation. Now, number 6, if men continue to resist Christ's salvation and God's written scriptures, they will continue to abuse the godly, verse 4, leading to God's judging them severely to their great shame. Now, the psalmist anticipated the coming establishment of the kingdom of God on earth as the ultimate solution to this problem of worldwide wickedness and destruction. This is a key focus that the upright need to take when they witness great atrocities. They need to look for and work for God's kingdom. I was thinking about this. We're going to mention this in the introduction in the sermon coming up later this morning, this whole Orlando shooting that occurred. Here's a man, a Muslim in background, and of course the Islamic faith is very opposed to homosexuality, going into a gay nightclub and shooting people up. Now, there's been all sorts of talk about, well, this guy, maybe he was a latent homosexual, and so he was struggling between going to hell as a practicing homosexual or as shooting people up and then having the police kill him on the spot so he can die as a martyr and therefore go to heaven as a Muslim. He'd rather go to heaven as a Muslim martyr than go to hell as a practicing homosexual. We don't know. There are all sorts of But this event encapsulates this whole problem that we're facing in our country, the whole issue of redefining morals and so forth. And it's just incredible. But what it should do for us, when we see something like this occur, when we get the news report, it should cause us immediately to say, boy, it's going to be great when the kingdom of God comes on the earth. And we're going to have, you know, righteousness. Well, we're working for that kingdom right now. We're in the process of discipling people, leading people to Jesus Christ, teaching them the word of God, and so forth. So it should motivate us when we see another atrocity like this occur, just to double down all the harder, you know, close ranks and get on with the task that God has laid before us of making disciples. Number 8, meanwhile, the upright should stay focused on a steady intake of written scripture to gain the insight necessary to continue to act prudently in abundantly godless eras. It's so very important for us to stay in the Word of God. As a pastor, I've been studying it as a way of life now for decades, close actually to 4 decades at this point, starting in Bible college way many years ago. Studying and making a way of life, and I see a greater need now for the Word of God than I did years before. It's greater now than ever before. The church needs more. And in fact, there's a tremendous vacuum even in churches today. Pastors are not doing the job of expounding Scripture. They're getting tied up with all sorts of other activities. I had a pastor in the area recently, graduated from the same seminary that I did. He called me up and he wanted me to get involved with the ministry for him. And I had to tell him, I said, I can't do that because I'm busy enough with the ministry that God's given me here. And I also knew that it would take time away from the study that God has wanted me to produce in regards to his word. And there are lots of siren calls on ministers today to get away from the expounding scripture. But if we get away from the exposition of scripture, we get away from content. If we get away from the content, then it's very easy for us to be affected by the ideology that floats around. And there's a lot of ideology that's errant that floats around in Christian circles and the secular world. It's all over the place. So what we need to do is stay with Scripture itself. So the lesson is, morally insensitive and impious men lack a sense of accountability to God. So they commit abhorrent atrocities, for they do not have the needed biblical insight, since they do not seek after God and His Word. Only God can and will fully judge this evil in establishing his kingdom. So the upright need to trust in him. They need to heed his word and live and work toward the establishment of that kingdom and responding productively to such evil atrocities. So when wicked men commit atrocities, we must first check our own standing with God and adjust to avoid his coming judgment on such sin. Then as believers, may we react to such ongoing atrocities by always focusing on God's word to purge our minds of ideological error and B, look for and work for God's kingdom. Now, working for God's kingdom will include different activities for different Christians. The Bible does want us to fan into flame the spiritual gift that God has given us. And we all have different spiritual gifts. Some of us have the gift of showing mercy. Some have the gift of giving. Some have the gift of administration. There are all sorts of different gifts. Gift of serving, gift of helps, gift of teaching, so forth, leading. And whatever that gift is, God just wants us to continue to excel in that. Because as we excel in that, that helps the body function. And as the body functions smoothly, the body itself is a witness. And then as God gives us opportunities to witness and God leads us into witnessing and giving the gospel, we can give that as well. But we all have an assignment. Our assignment is different from the Christian who's sitting next to us, the shoulder next to us and so forth. But we all have an assignment, and God wants us to keep that assignment. And he wants us to do that assignment. So that's how we respond. Just double down, check our lives, and be resolved all the more to serve the Lord and to abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback. It could be on this lesson. It certainly doesn't have to be. If there's another issue that has come up and you would like to discuss it or have some questions answered.